Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and this is the show for the week of September 11th, which is a wonderful day. It's my birthday. It's also the day of the World Trade Center, and it's the day of many wonderful people being born on Earth, including the president of Syria. Who knew?
He's a
September 11th birthday, too. And I am joined here. I'm sitting here broadcasting from my bright red desk, and I am joined by my compadres, Mark.
Mark Waltz in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And Heather?
Wonderful. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the banks of the Mississippi, Upper Mississippi, in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Very cool. Right. And what we do at Access Astrology is we talk about the weather, what's going on in the heavens, how you can work with it, why we're feeling the way we're feeling, and all sorts of other exciting things. And then we take calls from listeners. So forward we go. It's a big week. Most important in my mind, North Node and Saturn meeting up next week on the 17th, which is Tuesday, so it's before the show. North Node, every 12 years, meets Saturn, and it forms a conjunction or a union of your karma with your fate, right? So, I kind of went through and looked at the dates, and I went, wow, those were really big dates in my life, but, because they all happened before I really studied astrology. But it's pretty propitious. So I was like, propitious being one of those words that means it's good, and you should pay attention to what the heck's going on. So there I've been studying my Vedic astrology, propitious again. So propitious means you want to kind of notice. So thinking back, last time we had it was June of 2002, or July of 2002. Time before that was January of 91. Time before that was July of 79. And I know that, it feels, and then, of course, there was one in 56, October of 56 for you early babies. And then there was one in 68, April of 68. So in my life, those were major turning points, each and every one of them, about my Saturn work. And so you look at your Saturn by sign and placement, and you look at your node by sign and placement. So one of them, I found the apartment I'm living in now and started working in computers. One of them I started my computer business. Another one, I switched schools and went to an all-girls Catholic high school, which was, it got me on the path of philosophy and theology and belief system, which my parents never really talked about. They were just like, well, if you're happy, and it was like, well, I need bigger meaning, Mom, why are we here? It wasn't really how they worked. So, for me, in 2002 was when I started writing my astrology column about how to make the planets help you figure out what you're here for. So they were all pretty momentous for me. And this next week, we're having a major turning point again as Saturn hits that north node, and then 12 years from now. So it's big. And do you guys have stories with this or a relationship to the Saturn North Node?
I'd have to go back and think about that. I'm in the midst of my Saturn return. So go ahead.
Oh, you're in the midst of your Saturn return? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with mine,
Mark?
So I'm philosophical.
Yeah, I have the usual problem. If it's more than a week ago, it's all a blur.
Really interested. That fits perfectly with that. Saturn would be, and I have seen this in charts with students, with clients too, when Saturn hits that north node, that there is a turning point of fate, and they have a chance to step forward or re-up for the problems that they had before.
Right.
Yes.
And that,
that's what it brings
are
on,
you willing to step forward and take on to own some ownership and own your the next level of your work, personally or emotionally?
Mm-hmm.
And it does resonate with the relationship between Saturn and the North Node in your natal chart.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and also, if you think of your Saturn, it is your work. Wherever your Saturn is by sign and placement and house, that describes people's work when they're doing their work of the proper work of their life. When you find people who are living in their sweet spot, so to speak, they're perfect in the flow, they generally are doing their Saturn work and it becomes effortless because it's what they're called to do. Of course, they're going to have reactions to some of the other parts of Saturn, but the portion of it that invites them and entices them and calls them, their karma, is the Saturn. And that there's that famous Jung quote, which I always screw up, about, you know, your karma is doing the work you're supposed, your fate is doing what you're supposed to do anyway. And so Saturn as the indicator of the path of evolution. Mm-hmm. And then the North Node is where the invitations arrive. That's the little mailbox that the Sun and the Moon meet on every month and go, ooh, let me leave a little note for my son, my beloved son, and then the Sun writes a little note to beloved Moon, and then twice a year they meet at the eclipses. But the Node of Fate is that little magic moment, the little connector thing, where you pull in the people that are your path, that are your fate, that are your purpose, that call you to move forward. So next week on the 17th, now we're in orbs, so it could happen this
people
week.
People and experiences, yes.
Yes, people and experiences, yes. And I have to say, Facebook is full right now of a lot of people dying. Mothers dying, parents dying, you know, people, at least my Facebook is, or people having health crises. So Saturn on the North Node is also departure time. So if you've got ill people, you know, kind of pay attention to them. Because it is a karma. It's a mark of the transition. It's as my father always calls it, you're moving up the escalator of life, and the people ahead of you have gotten off, you know, and you can't see them anymore because they're walking down the road and you're still climbing the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're all moving up the – and, of course, that's
I'm
for me for my birthday.
I'm also hearing of people that are starting their own business.
Yes.
That have in some other way, you know, dying is one way that we step up that elevator. But how else do we step up that elevator?
Yes, lots of ways. Let's come up with some healthier, happier ways.
Several people who have stepped into been struggling to have a spiritual practice and are suddenly able to actually meditate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I see that as part of that, you know, to the fact that today Venus went into Scorpio. We can feel her coming for a while. And Saturn in Scorpio. And Venus coming to conjunct Saturn, where we can love our discipline.
Yes.
And we can find a way to, you know, it can feel like love is a lot of work, but it also allows us to find a way of loving our discipline, loving our work, wanting to love our work, whether we do or not. And wanting to love the next level of our security.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that stepping up, I like that stepping up, that escalator image. It's asking us to do that.
If we're at the top of an escalator, we step off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad your dad picked an up escalator, not a down.
Yeah. Well, he's an Aries. There's only one direction.
That's right.
That's the way you love the Aries, you know. I talked to him earlier today. I said, so, like, I've known you for 59 years. He goes, I know, you know, because they, you know, he was there. He was an intern when I was born, so he was in the delivery room. And they gambled. Was I a boy or a girl? He lost money on me.
Oh, yeah.
They bet boy, and I came out a girl. But yeah, it's understanding.
Well, luckily that was the only money that he lost.
Right. That wouldn't necessarily be what he said, but that's okay. I cost him a lot of money over these years. But it's understanding that we're at this moment of seeing where do we want to go next. And I think a lot of people, I think you're right, Heather, a lot of people are really, okay, so now what? Where am I going? You know, what's my next direction? Where do I want to head, you know? I'm back.
Also, tomorrow Mars squares the nodes.
Yeah.
So if we're not comfortable with where we are,
mm-hmm.
and then Mars moves into a trine with Neptune, with Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not comfortable with where we are, we may be ready to take some action.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm a little worried about with some of the people that I know who are going through major issues in their life, as Mercury squares Pluto and opposes Uranus this weekend. And any time the personal planets, which are moving so quickly, are hitting off that major aspect of our era, that three-year-long Uranus Pluto square, we see action. It's like a ratchet where we see action that takes us the next level on. It brings up all those issues. You know, here we are back at 9/11, and America's always buzzing with, you know, concerns and worries about security right around now.
Yeah.
But that aspect can really ask us to get real and make decisions and take incremental steps towards in the change that we're going through in that 3-year metamorphosis that takes us a step farther to our post-2015 new life.
Right. Right.
Because we are going through this era-changing aspect. We're turning a sharp corner, and we'll really feel it. So this weekend, this last week, this week, and next, we are resonating with that. And our thoughts come to it as Mercury, which is moving so fast right now.
Mercury is just flying up there. He is a busy guy.
Flying by.
And I think when we understand that the personal planets, as they aspect the Uranus-Pluto square, as well as the Star of David that's starting to break up, but there's also a cardinal cross up there, too, with Pluto and Uranus and Jupiter, cardinal T-square. Venus kind of filled it out, and I guess some other planets as they move through Libra will fill it. But at any rate, what it does is challenge aspect. And it kind of pushes back on us, and it goes, okay, so, like, what are you here for? You know, kind of, you know, the guy, the guard at the Wizard of Oz that answered the gate door, and he goes, why are you here? You're here to see the wizard. Wizard doesn't see people like you. And then you go, look, we have to see the wizard. You know, it's kind of like there's a pushback energy. And, of course, John Stewart's back, one of my favorites, and he had a really funny thing where Nancy Pelosi's grandson said to her grandma, no war in Iraq. And so she's explaining to her 5-year-old grandson why, you know, there has to be a war in Iraq. And it's kind of like, hey, the kid's smart. Listen to him, you know, just because, you know, like, or not, it's no war in Syria. But it's understanding that we're all in this process now about what is our vision of what we want our life to be. And it's very fast changing, you know. So as quick as you kind of say, gee, maybe this. One of the guys at the meeting we do on Tuesday was like instant karma. You know, like stuff just happens really fast now. Like stuff just zooms into the new position and you go, whoa, that was fast. So I think that's also another part of it is like things are happening really quickly. It's almost a little hard to keep up with. But it also is part of, well, what's your vision? You know, what are you, where are you heading with your life? You know? So, in that whole creative energy. So, any other things that we can
have? When we're ready to talk about charts, I have the chart of one of our fans who sent in a question about their solar return in the year ahead.
Okay.
It was a very thoughtful person.
Very good. So any last things to say about the week? I know this weekend is pretty rocky. There's a lot of big aspects. So let's talk about that, and then we'll roll on to the question.
One of the nice aspects is Venus is trining Neptune. And they're both in water signs, so it's a lot of emotional. People might find themselves crying for no particular reason, laughing for no particular reason, or wanting more out of their romance or wanting less out of it because they're feeling a little overwhelmed. The heart chakra is just going to be activated with Venus in that trine to Neptune, but it can give us the idealism and the compassion to handle some of the tougher aspects. What are you seeing, Mark?
Yeah, I like that. We'll also see Mercury pretty busy. Mercury going into Libra right away then starts interacting with other planets. And as we mentioned earlier, he's moving very, very fast right now. So it's a very active Mercury.
Right. And we also have trine to Uranus, Mars trining Uranus, which is a lot of energy around really finding sudden movement and sudden action about what it wants to do and how to get there. So that piece is also, that also happens on Saturday. Mars trine Uranus is kind of like adventures, go drive on adventures, have adventures this weekend with the Mars trine to Uranus. And the moon is
now. The moon is will be in Capricorn for most of the weekend, so there's some control issues will come up Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of weddings are happening this weekend, and it's a time when we will take words seriously.
Yeah.
And that Venus Neptune trine is helpful for that, but ease up on the control issues because of that Mercury aspect. People can worry a lot, or they can say exactly the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Great for, you know, when the crotchety old relatives say, you know, nasty, insulting things in the back of the wedding or funeral, just give them some space. It's a mishandling of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch our own minds, where they go, because we can be tuning into the world concerns. It's the perfect aspect, or it correlates with all of the negotiations that are going on around the Syrian strike and the fear of what is our responsibility in relationship to potential loss of life and in Syria. So I think the discussion is intense, and the ability to see the problems in all directions is strong with that, but we need to watch it in our own lives, watch the tendency to focus on the negative or to obsess or see the difficulties. To not get discouraged, because the aspect can leave us going, oh my God, only looking at the dark side if our mind happens to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So notice that and just like, okay, my mind is noticing the worst case scenario. What's the best case scenario?
Mm-hmm.
My mind is seeing how deep this problem is, but where is it being solved? We have to exercise that right to pull the Mercury, to pull the mind away from Uranus and Pluto. And remember that one of the gifts of this Uranus-Pluto is change can happen fast. We look at what's happening with gay marriage now, and we see how fast a change can happen once it gets on a roll.
Right.
So take that image back into the other parts of your life. How can you make that, how can we bring that in and say, change is possible. It's hard to imagine how, but if we hold our mind to it, we can make change happen in a good way.
Right, 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 right. And the other part is, while Mercury squares Pluto, which is the power and control, next week on Monday, it's opposite Uranus. Sunday it's opposite Uranus, so it's like a breakthrough. So this is where, when you're having the power struggle with someone, then allowing Uranus to suggest the solution, the breakthrough. And Venus and Saturn are joined as Saturn goes into that node of fate, too. So Venus, as what your desire nature is, because it rules Mercury, and Uranus as what your passion is, and kind of, I took a workshop with someone, and they were talking about kind of getting in that, I want to create, that, like being a playful little kid. And they actually played a tape of kids laughing, you know, kids giggling and laughing, and how creative they sound and how happy they are. And it made you kind of giggle. You know, that, like, yes, stand in that creative, happy place instead of the power struggle dynamic place and say, okay, what's the vision? What's the positive creative we can do here? And that will then, of course, the minute we focus on positive creative, we're transforming the struggle into something else, which I think is really a critical component of it. So, and I think we had Mark fall
and
off the
I
phone.
Have noticed deeply, if I can tap into my creative process, because I spend so much time analyzing as an astrologer and listening, but if I go paint for a while, I tap back into the creative problem-solving capacity, which can get a little threadbare when I'm just analyzing.
Right.
So if I need to find a creative solution and I'm feeling stuck, to go do something creative taps us into a very different part of our brain, very different capacity in our soul. It ties us into Venus versus Mercury, and Venus is much more strongly aspected this week.
Yes.
Mercury,
yeah.
And much more pleasantly aspected.
Yeah, and
so
she's
it's
in
a place
a,
where
yeah.
solutions can be found.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in a really good mood, which is always
yes.
good because she's in her rulership and she's like, I'm happy. All
but
right, so
Venus. In Scorpio can be a little possessive.
Yes.
And Mars in Leo can be a little bombastic. So we've got the two emotional planets, Venus and Mars, in fixed signs right now, which can be lovely on a good day, though there's some tension between you know, the one side of us that wants to go out and be sociable, outgoing, and bombastic, and Venus in Scorpio wants to stay home, go inside, go deep, go intense. And so there can be a little tension there. We just need to respect both sides of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to notice that when people stick their chin out, you can just see that stubborn Venus and Mars and fixed signs.
Mm-hmm.
When that chin goes out, especially on an emotionally based issue, and things like the stock market are very emotionally based issues, to not push, to give them a little space there, back off, because you won't get anywhere. You can just feel those mule heels dig in. But if you're not pushing, it can be pleasant and centered and romantic and lovely.
And productive.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. Mark, anything to add? You went off in the vapors there.
Yeah. My phone is acting up a little bit.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, I like that comment about Venus and Scorpio. It
Okay, well.
Mark, it's Ann Clarabelle. He's off again. bye, Mark.
We all have had phone problems like that sometimes.
I always, you know, that reminds me. Remember Bewitched when Ann Clara would show up in the chimney?
Absolutely.
I just think of that sound as Ann Clarabelle. It's very, you know, I think they copied it from Ann Clara because it brings up
that's
these fond memories. All right, so let's do.
Well, I have a client that I really want to put
the,
up.
Yeah,
I'm,
let's do the chart.
One of our fans. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
August 23rd, 1969. At 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
in Brooklyn, New York. This is a person with a pretty dangerous job, and we want to see if we can support him in the process. And his when I looked at the request was for a solar return. Could we look at the solar return?
August 23, 1969, 8 a.m. I got a 20 Virgo rising. Yep.
August 23rd, 1969, 8 a.m. Yep.
20 Virgo, okay.
Virgo, just barely Virgo, Moon in Capricorn, Virgo rising, Pluto-Mercury conjunct in the first house.
Right.
With Uranus and, well, I'd say some real technical capacity.
Mm-hmm.
This person is in an investigative field, and you can see that Pluto-Mercury is not going to stop. It's going to just keep going. With the Sun in the 12th house can be discreet.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto has been going back and forth over their moon, and that's not comfortable.
Right.
But it's moving on now. They've had some very upsetting aspects with as their T-square with Chiron, Uranus, Jupiter, and the moon has been seesawed back and forth by Uranus and Pluto over the last couple of years. But it looks like when the rest of the world is heading into some rough waters, this chart's got a little breathing room. Now,
mm-hmm.
I looked at the solar, the precess corrected return for this year because
mm-hmm.
they just had their birthday. And, you know, we as an astrologer, I'm sure you looked at your return.
I did.
We look at the moment that the sun comes exactly back to where it was when they were born in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a little snapshot of the year ahead. And their snapshot of the year ahead has a grand square with the Uranus and Pluto square and Jupiter and Venus on the other corners.
Right.
And it has a Mercury-Neptune opposition bisecting that. So it's and a grand trine, just in
mm-hmm.
case that wasn't enough.
And a couple fingers
Jupiter.
Of God.
Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty intense solar return,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't
mm-hmm.
you say?
I would. I'd say it's intense. But
now, you are
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit about solar returns in general for those who you know you owe birthday owe solar returns.
Oh, solar return! I looked at mine today. Yeah. What you know? First of all, every planet has a return, and what it does is it restarts. Kind of. I think of it as a okay.
Right.
Like Mark got thrown off with the bell. He's pressing some restart button, trying to get his phone back so he can come back. So what a solar return does is it restarts the chart. So the 2 weeks leading up to it usually are releasing energy, or sometimes longer if it's a Saturn return. But it resets the energy for the person to say, okay, now forward we go.
Right.
So we look at the sun.
Like a new moon.
New moon, but it's for the, in this case, it's for the sun, but every planet has them. So you look at, and it's the circle, it's a dot in the middle. It's where the phrase many happy returns comes from, because it's many happy returns of the sun to the place of your birth. So I find I look at, mainly at the house that Leo rules, and because that's the, it's the sun's return. So what is the sun going to draw your focus to? What's he going to make you look at? And then I go back and just kind of get a feel for the sun. Each month of the year is reflected in the solar returns. You can see when the hot years are going to be, hot months are going to be, when you're going to run into stuff. I like to think about what the energy shows in terms of the purpose of the year. So in this case, with the precess corrected, I've got a 19 Sag rising. The focus is the ninth house, which is a lot about education, training, philosophy, belief system. And then the ruler of the chart is the ninth house, which is the belief systems of things. And also co-ruler is the eighth, which is big transformations. Of course, eighth house is sex, death, and taxes. So this can be a year of inheritances
and
or a year
other
of
people's resources.
Other people's resources, possible retirement. Rising sign, then the next piece I do is I look at rising sign. And I go, okay, 9 degrees Sag rising. That points me down to the natal chart's third house. So this is a time for them to think a lot about what their vision is, what their beliefs are for themselves. And then the midheaven of the chart at 28 Virgo points right to the Mercury in the first house. So this is very much a year about wanting to be conscious, wanting to really focus. Ruling planet Sag rising answering to that lovely Jupiter in Cancer over in the seventh. Actually, this chart looks a lot like the United States' chart. This is a this could be the solar return for the U.S. because the angles match the U.S., except it's not a Libra midheaven, it's Virgo. But the rising sign in Jupiter, it's got a lot of energy about wanting to be compassionate and generous, wanting to be abundant. And then there's, of course, a finger of God. The highest planet is Venus and in Libra, top of the chart, and it's a precession corrected. It happens to be on Friday, so it's Venus's day. So I would say a lot of stuff around money and your value and your worth as an emphasis. When I look at the regular solar return, it's home and family, sun's in the fourth. It's about the children.
So they're
about,
both affected.
Huh? Pardon?
Yeah, they're both affected.
They're both affected, home and family and children, and the creativity is important. And the regular solar return has 27 degrees Taurus, pointing me to the ninth house in the natal chart. So we're back to the ninth house, fifth house, which is the is the karma that we've reaped and the creative energy that we're what we're creating and what we're sowing. So it's
one puts it with a moon in your late Pisces, one early
Aries.
Aries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either case, we see a potential move or a potential a move of feeling something unsettled in the home, but it could be unsettled in a good direction.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of energy about wanting to kind of see a vista. You know, I just kind of get vistas, maybe a trip, a travel, education that broadens the mind, that helps reflect upon where one wants to go. Natally, person's pretty intense with that Pluto Uranus in the first, and you know, having come off of the intensity of the last couple years with the transits they were having, this might just be a year to play a little and to have a little bit of fun.
I also though see that their progressed Mars is 9 Capricorn and Pluto is sitting right on it.
Yes.
In the fourth house.
So lots of sex.
There is a playful quality and a relief, but it also feels like some important decisions need to be made this year that will cause change that maybe I would say talk to an astrologer in depth because there's a lot going on in this about which way to take it from here.
Yeah.
But happy birthday to that person.
Yeah.
They know who they are. And happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And the British lady's saying 60 seconds, so we're going to sign off and roll on off into the sunset.
Okay.
I don't know if Mark's coming back again. This is Ann Ortley signing off from the Upper East Side on my bright red desk.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota, and I'm looking forward to working with the two of you in person this coming spring. Is it March or February?
February.
We're working on the weekend.
We reserved.
February?
Oh. Yeah, we reserved the room.
And a February weekend intensive where the three of us will be in New York helping people really take a chart and learn how to look at it and metabolize it and
right. So
have something to say about
it. Put your pennies aside. We are going to draft up the contents of it. But we do have the dates. It's the 7th, 8th, and 9th of February, and it'll be a weekend intensive. We are going to have early bird registration to help you save financially if you commit to us sooner as opposed to later, and to help us pay for the room we're going to rent, and to help us pay for Heather's plane ticket to get her in here. And also, it's a great opportunity for you to really delve in. So we're going to be really working in depth. This was actually Mark's wife's idea, which we thank her, that, you know, like, a lot of conferences happen that are very fragmented and focused kind of on a lot of different topics. And so pick something that people really want to learn and go into in-depth in. So it's going to be an in-depth chart reading mm-hmm. workshop. And so we'll do all different approaches to it. It'll be hands-on with your own chart, hands-on with other people in the room's chart or charts that people want to bring and share. And a lot of energy around how to approach a chart, what to say when you see something difficult, listening techniques, great idea. So we will all hopefully see it. Set the dates aside that first weekend in February.
Mm-hmm.
And we reserved the room.
Yes,
so we're on forward. So on that great note,
okay,
off we go.
Take care.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. See you next week. Bye.
Happy birthday, honey.
Oh, bye. Yeah, I know. Happy birthday to me. I only half an hour left. Bye.